Perk Bet. So, my Perk Bet opens. Now, Devin is really dying, right? And Perk Olive, he was sort of dying. We were getting to his death. But Perek Bet, he's actually dying, right? Vayikrevu Yemei David Lamut, Vayitzavet Shlomo Vena Lemor. So now when he's really dying, so now he tells Shlomo his last will and testament. Anochi Olech V'derech Kol Aretz V'chazakta Vayit Elish. So I'm going the way of the world, and you have to be strong, and you have to be a man. Now, as I said, the reason, the way the Mefarshim understand this is you have to be a man because you're really not, right? You have to be a man, but you're like 12, you know. So 12, I mean, it's not clear, right? It's not clear whether this parak was, you know, at his, you know, the previous parak was in the last few months or a few years. I mean, he's somewhere, he's in his teens, right? Chazal assume he's 12. He could be a few years older, but he's a teenager, as he will say explicitly. So first, and here, this parak, you know, parak Aleph is dramatic, parak Bet is even more dramatic, right? So it starts off, like, really nice. And you have to keep the whole Torah so that you'll be successful. Now this, you know, Chazal go into what exactly this means, whether it means being like God, right, v'alachta v'drachav, right, like it does, means in Dvarim, of being merciful like God. But this type of thing comes up over and over, right? Yehoshua opens this way as well, right? Yehoshua Perek Aleph opens this way, that if you keep the right, and keep the Torah, so that, right, the quote from Yehoshua is, Rak hazak v'amat ma'od l'shmor la'asod k'chol Torah, etc., etc., v'man taskil b'chol asher teilech lo yamush sefer ha'Torah zemi picha, ki al tatzlich et derachech av'at az taskil, right? If you keep the Torah, you'll be successful. So here, like, this is like classic, right? Keep the Torah and God will be good to you. And that's where the nicety, right, ends, right? He says one more pasuk, right? Leman yakim Adonai et dvaro asher diber alai lemor, yishmeru vanecha darkom lecha lefanai be'emet, v'chol avam v'chol nafsham lemor, lo yikaret lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael, because Hashem promised me that if my children keep the Torah, so then we will always have a dynasty. Now, this is already interesting, because normally we think of the promise to David as being eternal, but David makes it explicit that it wasn't, it was conditional, right? That he's telling Shlomo, I only have the right to be the king if you keep the Torah. If not,
how God spoke to David? Was he a Navi?
Right, so Chazal assume he's a Navi, but it's not clear that he's a Navi, right? We never find out explicitly whether he's a Navi. Right, whether it's Hashem speaking to David or it's Hashem through Natan or through Shmuel talking to David. Chazal assume based on this pasuk that he himself is a Navi, but he may, you know, be getting messages from Natan.
He learned his Natan.
Right, Natan is his personal Navi, at least the latter half of his life, since the story of, you know, David and Bathsheba, he's been with him. So until Pasuk Dalet, this is all very nice. And then we flip, right, and we get vengeance par excellence, right? Pasuk Hey just opens, V'gamata yadata, right? I need you to do two things for me. I need you to keep the Torah, and by the way, Ataya data et asher asah li Yoav ben Tzruya asher asah l'shnei sarei tzivot Yisrael l'avner b'ner masah ben yeter v'hargem v'yasam d'mei melchama b'shalom. Right? By the way, you also know what Yoav did to me. Yoav did two things to me. He killed Avner. So, background to this story is in Shmuel. So Avner was the general of Shaul, and then he supports Ishbosheth, who's the son of Shaul, to be his heir. But then he gets to a fight with Ishbosheth, so he offers to go over to David, but Yoav doesn't trust him. So Yoav, you know, David is happy to take Avner. Like, that's going to solidify his power. He's taking the enemy general. Yoav kills Avner. Right?
The general, no, Yoav
ben Tzruya. Yoav was David's general, and then Avner, Shaul's general. Now, Avner joins David at some point. Yoav doesn't trust him, right? So Yoav kills Avner. And then he also kills Amasa, right, who was the Sar Tzava, who was the general of Avshalom, and David wanted to bring him in as well, right? You want to bring in the general from the rebellion, and Yoav kills Amasa as well to maintain his power. Now, here, there's a fundamental machloka, though, amongst the Mefarshim, how to read the word et asher, the words et asher asali Yoav ben Tsruya. Right? What Yoav did, when David says, I want you to take care of Yoav because of what he did to me, so half the Mefarshim understand that you should imagine as a colon. What did Yoav do to David? He killed Avner and he killed Amasa, right? Meaning David had these opportunities to gain political power by solidifying his army, by getting Shaul's general, by getting Avshalom's general, and Yoav undermined that by killing them. And David had to go out of his way to show that he wasn't part of it. But the but many of the Mefarshim say there's actually three things going on. It's not et asher asa li Yoav colon, it's comma. There's three things he did to me that really, because there's three things Yoav did in his life that angered David. One was he killed Avner. Two was he killed Amasa. But the third thing was that he killed Avshalom. Right, that during the merit of Avshalom, right, during the rebellion of Avshalom, David said, "Don't kill my son," right? Because at the end of the day, he was still his son.
When did this happen that Avshalom rebelled again?
So that's already in Shmuel, right? He, early in David's career, Avshalom rebels against David, right? And has a full-out rebellion, right? There he drives him out of the city, he sleeps with his pilagshim, right? It's a mess. So Avshalom is still his son, and he didn't want Avshalom to be killed in the rebellion, and Yoav kills Avshalom as part of the war. Yeah. So according to half of the Mefarshim, Asher Asali Yoav ben Tsruya, this isn't fundamentally about the political one, right? This is a fundamental machlokas in the Mefarshim. Is David saying you have to kill Yoav because of his political decisions, or is it because a personal vendetta? He killed my son. And one of the things that I was listening to Shurim, but one of the things Rav Bazak points out, and I wouldn't have noticed this, but in between Shmuel and Malachim, in all the dialogues that we have of David, David uses the word bini 11 times, right? My son 11 times. 10 times are Avshalom, right? I mean, 7 of them are in one pasuk, right? Avshalom bini, 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 Avshalom bini, Avshalom. Something like this moan, you know, this wailing for it. And then 3 other times about Avshalom. The 11th time he uses it is Shlomo, right? And that was in Perek Aleph, meaning he never called Shlomo. No, he calls no one else bini until he makes Shlomo king. And it seems like David, the son that he loved the most, and just if you follow the word, is Avshalom. The second son that we know of that he loved was Adoniyahu, because he doesn't call him his son, but he says Vayehav and Adoniyahu that he loved Adoniyahu, and that was part of why Adoniyahu thought he deserved to be king, right? Because the pasuk had said that David loved Adoniyahu, right? Velo atzavo aviv miyamav, right? He never made him unhappy. He never yelled at him. He never rebuked him. He never done anything, right? Shlomo, the Torah sort of goes out. The Tanakh goes out of its way to make you think that maybe he didn't love Shlomo so much because he doesn't. It never says David loved Shlomo. It says God loved Shlomo. Right, Hashem loved Shlomo. He doesn't say that David loved Shlomo, and he calls him Bini only here. Right after Bathsheba convinces him that he has to, you know, keep his promise and make him king.
What is interesting is that David tells the 12-year-old to kill Yoav, and he didn't do it for I don't know how many years. He had the opportunity.
So I actually have a long shir on this, not here, but the Mishnah in the second parak of Makot says, right, when someone kills by accident, so then you send them to Galut, and they don't leave the Ir Miklat, they don't leave the city of refuge, no matter what, and then the Mishnah plays with your head, and says, Afilu Yisrael tzrichim lo ki Yoav ben Tsruya, right, even if the Jews need him as much as they need Yoav, you would never let him out, right? The irony is that David never kills Yoav for actual murder, specifically because Yisrael Tzrichim Lo Ki Yoav Ben Tsruya, he doesn't have the power. The only reason he can tell Shlomo to kill Yoav is because Shlomo is more settled and Yoav is no longer necessary. Right? So the Mishnah is sort of highlighting the irony here, is that Yoav really should have been killed. Right? He should have been taken care of in the time of David, but you know, political realities are not ideal situations. He wanted to get rid of Yoav, I have a whole shir on it. It's like multiple levels of irony, because the Gemara then builds on this even more. So half the Mepharshim at least see here not Yoav's political crimes, but his personal crime against David, against the son he really loved. And now Shlomo is, you know, he's sort of, I don't know if he's warmed to Shlomo, but or he always loved Shlomo, but now is the first time Shlomo has been called Bini. He's now taken his role, and now he turns to him and says, please kill Yoav, take care of him. And he says, Vayitain Dimeng Melchama Bechagora, To Asher B'Motnav, Ma'alo Asher B'Raglav, right? Make sure that the blood, you know, that's in him, like, hits him. And then he says, Va'asita Kechochmatcha, V'lo Taretse V'ato B'Shalom Sha'ol. Do it according to your wisdom, and don't let him descend happily to his grave. Right? Don't let him die in peace. Right? Like, he's an elderly man already. Just make sure he doesn't die peacefully. Right? It's, you know, like these 98-year-old Nazis. They don't want, or they want them to serve justice. He's like, just make sure he doesn't die, you know, happily. Like, that is your goal. Now, you see a few interesting things here already. Right? You see that Shlomo was wise before he gets the bracha. Right? He's going to get the bracha of being the wisest of all men, but he hasn't gotten that yet. But he's already wise. Wise enough that David, who was never capable of killing Yoav, can tell his, whatever, 12-year-old son, you're smart enough, you'll figure out how to take down the general, right? Which is already like, you know, there's something about Shlomo at the beginning of his reign that makes him this, you know, superpowers we'll see. Because as we will see, Shlomo is the only monarch in Klal Yisrael ever who marries the daughter of Paro, right? Which is the regional superpower. Right, normally you marry your children off to a bigger power than you, right? As a sign of, of homage to the greater power. Shlomo, already at the beginning of his rule, apparently, you know, when he's 12, 15, whatever he is when he's getting married, right, is already anticipated to be powerful enough that Paro sends him his daughter. So there's something about Shlomo; he's clearly already unique. Now, Lo Tered Sevato Rishalom Shaol is a phrase borrowed from Breshit, from Yaakov, right? That Yaakov, and I think this is an intentional play, which would support the Radak's read, that Asali Yoav ben Tsruya is about Avshalom, right? Because this pasuk is borrowed, Yaakov, right? When he says, when he misses Yosef, he thinks that Yosef is dead, his beloved son is dead, he said that I will go down Biagon Sheola, right, that I will go down, right, to the grave in pain, right, I won't be happy. And David seems to be playing on that, right, that, you know, the way I would read it is because my son died, right, I carry that with me to the grave, he has to die, right, he can't die peacefully because I'm not dying peacefully, like, I feel the loss of Avshalom. And then he continues, that Vilivnei Barzilai Agiladi Tasa Chesed. So they were people who, right? They supported David during the rebellion of Avshalom. So take care of them, right? As he said, during the rebellion of Avshalom, they supported David, and therefore I owe them one, so make them, you know, eat with you, meaning support them at your table. Now here, v'hine, imcha Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini, and you also have Shimi ben Gera, who's with you, mibachurim, v'hu kilalani kilalani mretzet b'yom lechdi machanayim. So here's one of the most dramatic scenes in David's life, right? As David is leaving, during the rebellion of Avshalom, Shimi ben Gera comes out and he curses him, right? Ish damimata, right? You're a murderer. Right? He curses him. Now, in Perek Aleph, the Navi had said that Shimi, we don't know which Shimi, was loyal to Shlomo and not to Adoniyahu. Now, the Mepharshim divide. Some say it's a different Shimi, but some of the Mepharshim say it was Shimi ben Gera. So Yoav wasn't loyal to Shlomo. He was loyal to Adoniyahu. So to tell him to kill Yoav is saying, look, in the end of the day, Yoav is powerful, but he wasn't loyal to you. He was loyal to Adoniyahu. So you know what? He wasn't loyal. He committed crimes against me. He wasn't loyal to you. go kill him. If Shimei is the same Shimei who was loyal to Shlomo, right, this is already right more. David's saying, look, I understand that Shimei is good to you. Like, he was one of the few advisors who stayed with you, but he cursed me. Like, as I was at my most vulnerable point when I was leaving Avshalom, he cursed me. So you have to get rid of him, right? But who Yaram Likrati Yardain, right? I was like walking and I was passing the Yardain. He comes down, Veshavalo Ba'ashem Lemori Matcha Bacherev. And I swore then, right, that I would kill him by the sword, right? He was so terrible what he did to me. And so much so, right, Liebtag suggests, right, David, you know, pop quiz, right? Everyone always says that why did David not build the Beit HaMikdash? Because he was involved in war and his hands were bloody. God never says that. That never appears anywhere in Tanakh. It appears David is the one who says it. David says the reason I couldn't build a Beit HaMikdash, he says this explicitly in Divrei Hayamim, is because I was a warrior. But Hashem never tells it to him. And the only time anyone ever says to him that he has bloody hands is Shimei and the curse. And it seems like David assumes that even though this is a curse, right, Shimei is channeling God. He takes that as God's voice, and that like frames his whole perspective of why he could never build a Beit HaMikdash. And he just like he hates Shimei, right? He thinks like Shimei at his most vulnerable point, like called him an ish damim. He cursed him as he was leaving, and he sort of defined him for life as a warrior not worthy of building the Beit HaMikdash. Like he internalized that perspective. He hates Shimei, and he's possibly telling Shlomo, kill someone who is loyal to you, because he was bad to me. Like, you are...
The same question, why did some of you curse the king? It's probably Chayav Mita.
He is Chayav Mita. Yeah. So that's what many of the Mepharshim know that, is that really all these people were Chayav Mita because they were murdered by Malchus, because they rebelled. But he never had the ability to do it. And now he's saying, you know, do it. Now, many ask, okay, well, then why didn't David do it?
Right.
And the answer is, he's no longer king.
But
right?
He actually...
Correct, but now, right, he never had the power, and now he has to beg Shlomo, he has to ask Shlomo. Shlomo is now king, right? He actually stepped down. Now, he doesn't have the right to say, let's kill someone, Morid B'malchus, right? He couldn't do it earlier, he didn't have the power. His kingdom wasn't established. Now, he's not king, right? So he turns to Shlomo and said, look, last favor, you're king, please, just, like, settle my scores. Now, some people, and I heard a shiur by Uriel Simon, he thinks that Tanakh doesn't support David. Right, he said, you know, just read sort of the pathos of this. It just feels like revenge. But it is vengeful. I mean, it is. I don't think you can read it one way or the other. Like, it's clear David is angry, but the Torah doesn't weigh in on whether that's okay or not. Pasuk Tet, he gets even worse, right? And he says, "Va'ata al tinakehu," right? Don't let him go clean, right? Don't let him be naki meonesh. Ki ish chachamata. You are smart. Figure something out and make sure he goes out in blood to the grave. Right? It's like Ishkav David Avotav, with those wonderful last words, he dies. David, right? Like it's this, and that's, you know. So again, it's an open question, I think, whether David is whether Tanakh fully supports his vengeful sort of last will and testament, but this is how he leaves Shlomo.
Ir David is Hebron.
It's Mitzudat Zion. What is that? Yes.
We went to David's Hebron. It's not
in Hebron. Is it? It's Mitzudat Zion. Here's his Mitzudat Zion. Where is that? Based on Shmuel Bet. Parakei, Pasuk Zayin. Yeah, I'm not sure. Here's the Mitzvotzion, but I'm not sure. So then he summarizes it. Then he says, "Vayamim Asher Malach David Al Yisrael Arbeim Shana BeChevron Malach Shavashanim Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim VeShaloshanim." Right, so he's king for 40 years, 7 in Chevron, and then 33 in Yerushalayim. It's really 40 and 6 months, but we round. Ushlomo yashav al kisei David, da David aviv vatikon machuto meod. And Shlomo sits on the throne, and he has a very well-established kingship. And now, Perek Aleph comes back to haunt us. Vayavo Adoniyahu ben Chagit el Batsheva. So Adoniyahu comes to Batsheva, Aim Shlomo, the mother of the queen, right? Clearly, Batsheva has a special role in the new government, right? She was the one that made sure Shlomo was king, right? She pulled all the strings.
How is that possible? Yerushalayim.
What?
Ha'otzion, Mount Zion.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Somewhere in Yerushalayim. I'm not sure exactly, right? It's Mitzudat Zion, Ha'otzion, something like that. I have to look back at Shmuel. So Adonio now comes to Batsheva. Vatomer ha-shalom bo'echa. Right? Are you coming in peace? Right? She's a bit worried. Right? Like, okay, Adonio just rebelled, and I was the one responsible for him not being king. Are you coming in peace? Vayomer shalom. He said, yeah, I'm coming in peace. Vayomer davar li'elayech. But I have a favor to ask you. Vatomer daber. So she said, okay, well, what's your favor? Vayomer, now he's about as explicit as he could be. Vayomer, at yodat ki li aita melucha. You know that I deserve to be king. Va'alai samu chol Yisrael p'neihem l'mloch. Not only that, but everyone in the Jewish people assumed that I would be king. They were looking at me to be king. Va'tisova melucha, and like last minute it turned. Va'tihi l'achi. And it went to my brother, ki me'ashem aita lo, because God wanted him to have it. Right? I recognize it's from God, but like, realize how hard this is for me. Like, really, by right, I should be king, and God, like, pulled it away from me. Vata shela achat, do me one favor. Anochisho meitach, I ask you one little thing. Al tashivi et panai, don't turn me away. Vatomrei lav daber, she said, okay, talk. Right, this is like the Achashverosh Esther thing, right? Like, please, one thing, okay, just say it already. Vayomer imri na leShlomo haMelech, do me a favor, ask Shlomo, the king. Ki lo yashiv et panai, he won't say no to you. V'iten li et Avishag Shunamit, Lisha, let me marry Avishag. Now Avishag was, we saw in Perek Aleph, was the final, not really wife, but nurse, whatever, of Shlomo, of David. Now, right, so as we mentioned last week, Avishag is the only person in all of Tanakh that it says that she was Yafa Admaod. She was beautiful. She is, by the accounts of Tanakh, the most beautiful person in all of Tanakh. And she's stunning. And he wants to marry her. Now, some of the Mefarshim assume that this is what drove everything. That the only reason Adoniyahu rebelled to begin with it was not because he wanted to be king, was because he wanted to marry Avishag. Like, they see in this the beginning of his downfall. But presumably, this is more he wants like a... Well, it's one of two things. Either now he wants, as Shlomo will assume, a backhanded way of becoming king, or he wants a consolation prize. He's
she
not.
She wasn't married, though, so he said.
To David, right, which is the only reason that someone would be allowed to marry her now, right? Because otherwise you couldn't marry your father's wife, couldn't marry the king's wife. But if she never really married David, so then as long as you're king, you can marry the king's non-wife. But if you're not king, you aren't allowed to. Nurse, but sort of married. So he asks for either this consolation prize or as a backhanded way of becoming king, which is what Shlomo is going to assume. Now, here, Uriel Simon points out, and this is, I think, sort of fascinating. We have to sort of backtrack. If you'd asked me at this point whether Batsheva is going to succeed, I would say the answer is yes. Because Batsheva is like the master of persuasion. He notes, just in Perek Aleph, we go back. I found this fascinating, but I only found it afterwards. Right. If you go back to Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Aleph, so when Natan talks to Batsheva and tells Batsheva, you need to tell Shlomo, you need to tell David that Adoniyahu is trying to be king. So Vayomer Natan al Batsheva, im Shlomo, leimor, halo shamat ki malach Adoniyahu ben Chagid v'Adonenu David lo yada. Don't you know that Adoniyahu became king and David doesn't know about it? V'atal lecha iatzeich. Now, Eitzah, let me give you advice. Umaltiyad navsheich v'nevesh b'neich Shlomo, and you'll save yourself. L'chi uvoi al melech David v'amart eilav, halo ata adoni ha-melech nishbata l'matcha leimor ki Shlomo v'neich yimloch acharai v'hu yeshev al kisi u'madu ha-madat malach adoniyahu. Right, Natan tells Batsheva, go tell David, what are you doing? What are you doing? You promised me that I would be, that my son would be king. But if you look at what she actually says, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, right, Natan says, get David to agree by accusing him. Right, you promise. She changes just a few words, but it changes everything. In Pasuk Yud Zayin. So what do we know about David? David doesn't know what's going on, and he's on his deathbed. And he doesn't, like, he's just not in the swing of things. So you just imagine he's, like, sort of depressed, right? He's, like, been this successful king, and now he's, like, you know, he's freezing to death of hypothermia. He needs a nurse to keep him warm. She turns to him and says, "Batomer lo Adoni." And she says, "My master, ata nishbata v'Hashem Elokecha l'amatcha ki shlomo v'neich imelcha acharai v'hu yeshev al kisi." You promised that my son would be king. Vatayne Adoni Amalach, and Adoni was king. Vata Adoni Amalach lo yadata, and you didn't know. Now, so far, this is all what Natan said. Vayizbach shomari v'tzon v'ro v'ikralochol b'nei mechol v'atar kohen liavsar tzava shlomavdecha lo karan. He didn't call us, but then when she actually gets to, instead of accusing, what does she say? Vata Adoni Amalach, einei chol Yisrael alecha. Everyone is looking to you, right? Instead of saying, you know, you're dying and they're looking for an heir, she says, no, you still have power, right? She's encouraging him. Everyone's still looking at you. Lagid lahem mi yeshev al kisei Adoni HaMelech acharav. She used the word Adoni three times in three psukim, right? My master, everyone's looking to you. Adoni HaMelech, everyone wants you. Vayak, and then again, vayi chishav Adoni HaMelech motav, when you die, Vayit Yaniv v'nishlo mochatem will be sinners, which some of the Mepharshim say because they'll assume we rebelled against Adoniyahu, or she's being nice and saying, not me and Shlomo will be sinners, you and I will be sinners, because if you disown my son and don't make him king, they'll think that you disowned me and our relationship because of what happened with Uriah. But, so Professor Simon points out that she knows exactly how to take Natan's words and just flip it just subtly. So instead of accusing David, so he's like, feels under attack, she emboldens him. She said, you may be old, you may be dying, right? But everyone's looking to you. You still can do something about it. And in fact, that's what he does, right? When you look at how the Pasuk actually describes how he becomes king, how he makes Shlomo king, in Pasuk called Chet, suddenly this dying king, who has a nurse, you know, taking care of him, suddenly says, Vayan HaMelech David, Vayomer Kiruli LeBatsheva, V'tavo Lefnei HaMelech, V'tamod Lefnei HaMelech. She says, call Batsheva now. Vayishiva HaMelech Vayomar Chai Hashem Asher Padan Nafshi Mikol Tzara Ki Kasher Nishbati. He makes a whole vow. And he says, V'hu Yishev Al Kisei Tachdai. I'm going to make him king now, like under me. And immediately he's active. Like this person who couldn't do anything, right, he got this pep talk from Batsheva, and he's getting up. Pasuk Lamed Bet. Vayomer Amelch David Kirul Tzadok Hakohen Lantana Vil Lufnayahu Vinyo Yadav Vayavol Lufnei Amelch Vayomer Amelch Lam Chui Machem Et Divdei Anechem. Right, he's going on. He's calling the cabinet together. He's arranging a coronation. Right, this guy who's like 70 years old.
Maybe a vitamin drink or something.
What?
Maybe a vitamin drink or something. Did he go
there? Yeah, exactly. Whatever it is, and then. Right, he tells his whole, you know, he gives his whole instructions, and after it all happens, and everybody actually comes, and he becomes king. In Pasuk Mem Zion, we find out that David actually comes down, right? Like he actually comes to the coronation. Everyone's bowing to David again. Right, David's been hidden off in some room, and now he actually comes into the courtroom, and everyone is bowing to David again, right? So Batsheva is the master of, like, giving people courage, energy, persuading. So here, Adoniyahu comes to her and says, I got one favor to ask you. Please, let me marry Avishag. Now, why would she say yes? Why would she say yes? So there's basically two reasons why she might say yes, right? One is she thinks this is a good idea, right? She thinks it's a good idea politically that Adoniyahu was really supposed to be, you know, everyone thought he was going to be king, so why don't you make him happy, right? Like, give him a sign of goodwill, that give him something, and then he'll be loyal to Shlomo. Alternatively, she, you know, doesn't really like Avishag, right? Avishag is a threat, right? Avishag was, you know, the final wife of David, the one that actually spent time, or the final whatever, consort, or whatever, of David. And, you know, it's not really nice to have her around. Like, she is the aim, you know, and Avishag could be married to Shlomo. You know, she is the you know, Avishag is this, you know, it'd be nice to sort of get Avishag out of the house. So different people suggest different things. But whatever it is, she's okay with this. And then, so Professor Simon points out, but this master of persuasion messes this up terribly. Right? Like, Adoniyahu sets the groundwork. Like, he gives her the words to say. He said, tell Shlomo that, you know, I really was supposed to be king. There's a whole background. Like, I'm really, I have a reason to be bitter, but I understand that it's from Hashem. But just give me Avishag. Like, he gives him the words. He gives her the words. He gives her the means to persuade Shlomo, and she leaves it all out, right? Just like before, she changes Natan's words. She changes Shlomo's words, but it doesn't work at all. She changes Adoniyahu's words. So she comes. V'tomer bat sheva tov, anochi adaber alach al hamelech. Sure, I'll go talk to the king. Great idea. V'tavo bat sheva al hamelech Shlomo, l'daber lo al Adoniyahu. V'yakom hamelech krata, v'yishtacha vula. So she goes to Shlomo to ask, and Shlomo bows to her. I mean, she is the queen mother. V'yishav al hakisei. He pulls up a chair and she sits next to him, right? She's clearly like very, very important in the royal court. I'm asking one little tiny thing. Al tashev et panai, don't turn me back, right? Shlomo should not turn her back for anything. She made him king. Yeah, you know, mother, ask me. What do you want? Kilo ashev et panai, whatever you say, I'll give it to you, right? Achashverosh is later, but the contrast highlights it. You know, it's when Achashverosh says, "I'll give you whatever you want." Al chatzil malchut, and he does it. And here, Shlomo says, "I'll do whatever. I will definitely answer you." So you think that Batsheva, she's good at persuading people. Shlomo's already agreed in advance that he's going to listen, and she blows it. But Tomer, you tanit Avishag shunamit ladoniyah achichalisha. She leaves out all context. She doesn't try to explain. She doesn't try to persuade. Clearly, her plan, her strategy, was to make it like it was a little thing. Like, do me a little favor. Like, you know, she tries to downplay it, right? But that blows up in her face, right? Vayan Amelech Shlomo Vayomer Limo V'Lama Choelat Avishag Shunamit LaAdoniyahu V'Shali Lo Et Amlucha. Why would you do that? You might as well ask that he should be king. He's my older brother. Eviatar the Kohen and Yoav supported him. Right now, it's ironic. What Adoniyahu said to mitigate his request, Shlomo, without hearing it from Adoniyahu, throws back in Batsheva. Right? At Batsheva. Adoniyahu said, I was supposed to be king, so do me a favor and throw me a bone and let me marry Avishag. Shlomo turns it around without having heard it from Adoniyahu and said, he was supposed to be king. I can't throw him a bone. I can't let him marry the king's wife because that would solidify his being king. Now, had Batsheva actually said what Adoniyahu said, maybe he would have convinced him, right? Meaning, there's two ways of taking the fact he could have been king in this story. Adoniyahu takes the same facts and says, I was supposed to be king, so do me a little favor. Shlomo says he was supposed to be king, and this is the one thing I can't give him, right? But Sheva says exactly the wrong thing. She leaves out the context. She doesn't get an opportunity to contextualize the request. So Shlomo takes the same facts and flips it and turns down his mother after having already promised that he would say yes. So Professor Simon says it must be, right? If you have the same Batsheva who can change just enough words in Natan's advice to reinvigorate David, here changes a few words and it all blows up. Right? With all her power, with all her persuasive abilities, you can't help but feel that Tanakh, without telling it to you, is implying David's life and Shlomo's life are run by Hashgacha. Like, God is behind the scenes. It's not about Batsheva, right? It's not that Batsheva was this master persuasion. It was that this is how God wanted it to happen.
Who wrote it?
Melachim. It's partially, like, probably Natan, right? and then later Nevi'im, right? There's a whole, right, in Bava Basra, it has a whole discussion of which Nevi'im wrote what, and it's a mix of Nevi'im, but the number of Nevi'im are writing Malachim.
Because he must have been part of the conversation, or...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's some combination of Nevi'im and...
She wasn't going to Natan to ask him...
No, she didn't ask anything, she just assumed, like, it'll be a little favor, it'll be fine. Now, Professor Simon goes farther and suggests that the reason this has to happen was because there's two things God wanted out of the story. One is that Shlomo should be king, as we already know, because Natan said he'd be king. The other thing is that David should lose four sons, right? He was, part of the curse was that he would lose four sons, and this seems to be the end of it, right? Is that Hashem is playing with the story, right? Because he lost Avshalom. Right, and he lost the baby that was born from the original, right? The original sin with Bathsheba, right? And he lost seemingly one other son because we don't hear about the son between Avshalom and Adoniyahu. So it seems like he dies at some point, and then Adoniyahu is son number four.
Which is terrible.
I mean, he lives it's a terrible life, but this seems to be sort of the end of that punishment, and now Shlomo. Now, not only does Shlomo assume that Adoniyahu is trying to rebel, which maybe he is, maybe he isn't, he assumes that Eviatar and Yoav are in on it. So he uses this as his reason to punish Yoav and Adoniyahu and fulfill David's wishes.
Why would he get this from you?
So he assumes, right, that's his last pasuk, right, below it, Eviatar HaKohen Loav Ben Tzruiah. And he assumes that Adoniyahu has been plotting to eventually become king again,
because
and the two exactly, and the two main advisors that he had. Now he has no evidence for this, right? Now it's now here it's conspicuous. Tanakh doesn't tell you whether Shlomo is right. He tells you that this is how Shlomo ended up punishing Yoav and Eviatar. He doesn't tell you whether Shlomo is correct in this assessment. It just tells you that this is what happened, right? That the politics played itself out here, that Shlomo assumes that this is the end of that rebellion. By Shava Melech Shlomo Badonai Lemor Ko Yaseh Li Elohim V'cho Yosef Ki V'nafsho Diber Adoniyahu Adavar Hazeh. I swear by God that with his life he asked for this. V'ata Achai Adonai Asher Chinani V'yishivani My father, right, or God that put me on the throne of my father, Vasher Asali Bayit Kasher Diber, and made me a home, like he said he would, Ki Hayom Yumar Adoniyahu. Today he's going to be dead. Today I will kill him. Vaishlach HaMelech Shlomo Biyad Benayahu Ben Yadav, Vaifkabo Vayamod, and he sends Benayahu, who's by the way a Kohen, right, and he kills him. Right, so it's not clear, did he actually have him killed, or did Bayana actually kill him, but he kills him. He already has him killed. And he takes his vengeance against Eviatar and Yoav. Eviatar Kohen, Amar HaMelech Anatot, Leich El Osadecha, Kish Maferata, Vayom Azel Lo Amitecha, Ki Nasat Et Aron Adonai Elohim Lefnei David Avi, V'chi Etanite Bechol Asher Etana Avi. He said to Eviatar, look, you're really a dead man, but I won't kill you. Because A, you're a Kohen. You carried the Aron. Right? You were the Kohen Gadol. And two, is you were loyal to my father, right? You weren't loyal to me because you went with Adoniyahu, but you were loyal to my father. You suffered along with my father during Merit Avshalom. During Avshalom, you did suffer with my father, so I won't kill you. What I will do is Vayigarei Shlomo et Eviatar mihiot kohen l'Adonai l'malei dvar Adonai asher dibar al bereli b'shilo. But he fired him, right? He's no longer the Kohen Gadol. And now Tanakh tells you, why is this all happening? Not because what do you think it's happening. It's not. This is not because of this political situation. Right? Hashem is pulling the strings because of something that happened hundreds of, you know, 100 years ago. Eli had sons, Hophni and Pinchas, who were terrible, and Eli looked the other way. So Hashem had promised Eli that you right now are the Kohen Gadol, and your children are the Kohen Gadol, and one day the Kohen Gadol will be taken from you and given to somebody else. Eviatar is the last Kohen Gadol from the house of Eli. And the Tanakh tells you, right? So the Tanakh tells you that this seems like this is politics about Shlomo. It's not. The reason this all happened is because this is the end of the line for Eli, right? Hashem is playing behind the scenes. And he's making Shlomo angry at Eviatar in this particular way, not because Eviatar deserves it for now, because Eli deserved it.
David also didn't ask Shlomo to kill Eviatar.
Right.
Ask him to kill you off, but not Eviatar.
Exactly. And Eviatar, why does Shlomo get angry at Eviatar? Because of Eli, right? The Tanakh is telling you explicitly that David is playing, right? Hashem is playing behind the scenes, right? It may be that Eviatar deserved it, maybe he didn't. But the reason this happened to Eviatar is because of Eli, right? So you have all these different, and
who
that's...
Who punished Eli?
Shmuel told Eli, but Hashem, you know, pulls it off, right? Eli falls and dies when he hears that his sons died and the Aron was taken, right? They all die on the same day. And, you know, much of Navi works on these double levels, right? That there's the political level, and then there's this theological plane that's working simultaneously. And sometimes Tanakh will draw attention to the fact that the two levels are intersecting. Sometimes it won't tell you what's going on. But here it tells you. Yoav realizes what's going on, and he's terrified. Vashmoa ba'ad Yoav, ki Yoav nata acharei Adoniyah, v'achareiv shalom lo nata. Right? Yoav hears, look, he said, I'm scared because I followed Adoniyahu, but I didn't go after Avshalom. So the Mefarshim all wonder, like, what does this mean, v'acharei Avshalom lo halach? Like, why is that relevant, right? So either it's even though I didn't rebel with Avshalom, I did rebel with Adoniyahu, and now Shlomo is punishing anyone who rebelled with Adoniyahu. Or other Mefarshim saying no. So the other possibility is, right, it's drawing attention to what the Radak had noted, right, that he followed Adoniyahu, he didn't follow Avshalom, and not only didn't he follow Avshalom, that was good, but he killed Avshalom as part of his not following Avshalom, and that was bad, right? The third possibility is that David, which is what Chazal suggests, is maybe he really did want to follow Avshalom. Right, that what it's telling you is that Yoav was never really loyal to David. He was just politically pragmatic. And David, he thought, would win in the end of the day. Right? He didn't think Avshalom would win the rebellion. He thought Adoniyahu would rebel, right? Would win the rebellion, would become king. And what Tanakh is hinting at is that it's very nice he didn't follow Avshalom, but don't think it's because he was loyal to David. He wasn't, because when David was ailing and dying, he followed Adoniyahu instead of Shlomo. Right? It's not that Yoav was always in it for himself. But he realizes now Shlomo has it out for him. Vayanas Yoav, Elohola Adonai, v'chazei k'ran ha-mizbech. So he runs to Mizbeach, and he holds on to Mizbeach. Vayugad l'melech Shlomo, kinas Yoav, Elohola Adonai, v'hinei eitz ha-mizbech, v'yishlach Shlomo b'nei'ahu, v'en yoyada le'mor, lech begabo. So Shlomo hears, and he sends b'nei'ahu to kill him. Vayavo v'nei'ahu, Elohola Adonai, v'yomar ilav, ko'ar mar ha-melech tsei. Vayomer lo, kifo hamut. Vayesha b'nei'ahu ha-melech davar le'mor, kodi ber Yoav, v'chol anani. So Benayahu tells him, look, get out. I'm like, the king said, leave. He said, nah, no. You want to kill me? You're killing me right here. You are killing me right here in the Mishkan. Or not the Mishkan, but at the Mizbeach. Which Chazal understand as saying, look, you want to kill me, fine. But you kill me outside. It's Murad B'Malchus, and my property goes to the king. You want to kill me, kill me. But I don't want it called Murad B'Malchus. Like, kill me here where you shouldn't kill me. You can only kill me here if I deserve death from Beis Din, and then my property goes to my kids. Like, you want to kill me? Fine. But I'm not coming out so you can kill me as a rebel. Right? You want to kill me? Kill me right here because I deserve it. So Benayahu goes and tells Shlomo that, you know, that's what happened. By Yom Allah Melech. Okay, I'll take Asher Diber. Ufugabo, Ukvarto. If that's what he wants, do it. He wants to die by the Mizbeach, so kill him and bury him. Meaning he said, look, I'm okay with that. I don't care if I want him dead. I don't really care where he dies. I don't care whether you call it Murad B'Malchus or Misa. I don't care whether he's buried, right? Bury him, fine. Vasirota, demechinam, asher fachirav me'alai, me'al beit avi, right? And at least you'll kill him and you'll cover the blood that he spilled. Veshiva, adonai et amo al rosho, asher paga, b'shnei anashim tzadikim v'tovim imenu, v'argem b'cher, v'avi David lo yadar, avner b'ner, sar tzva Yisrael, v'ramasa b'nyeter, sar tzva Yudah. And God will bring the blood back on his head for having killed two men who were better than him. And David didn't know about it. Vishavud mehem b'rosh Yoav, b'rosh zarol olam, and blood will be on his head forever. V'davidol zarol v'eto l'chiso, yeshalom ar olam, and we'll finally have peace forever. Mehem Adonai, v'yal b'nai b'nai adav, v'yizkabo v'yimiteo v'kaver v'eto b'amidbar. So he goes and he kills Yoav, v'yitein ha-melech et b'nayahu b'n yoyada tachtav al-tzabet, tzadok ha-kohen natan ha-melech tachad Eviatar. Now, Chazal have a whole more discussion of what exactly he argued with Yoav, but we don't have time for it now. But in the meantime, Benayahu takes over as general, Tzadok takes over as the Kohen. I think we might have to stop here before Shimi is Right. Shimi is
it's unbelievable that these are our kings, our idols, and they kill each other like on a daily basis.
Yeah, really, that's why, you know, Ariel Simon thinks that the Tanakh is not endorsing this. Like, you know, because you read it and, like, the vengeance is, like, overflowing.
That's
like
any movie that we saw.
Yeah, and, like, the next one is, I mean, the way he kills Shimi also. And, you know, Shimi, we could read through it, right? His last plan, he says, Vayishlach HaMelech, Vayikra L'Shimi, Vayomer Lo B'nei Lecha Vayit V'Yushalayim V'Yashavta Sham, V'lo Teitzei Misham Anavana. Said to Shimi, as a part of this, live in Yerushalayim and don't move. Right, like, I need to keep an eye on you. I'm not going to kill you because you're somewhat loyal, but I don't want you moving. But he basically creates an impossible situation, right? Which is, you can never leave Yerushalayim. So, Vayah, B'yom Tzidcha, V'avarta, Nachal Kidron, Yadot, Tidakimot, Tamut, Tamcha, Yever, Oshecha. And the day you leave, you'll die. Just know that. And it'll be your own fault. Vayom Rishimi, Lo Melech, Tova Devar, Kasher, Diber, Adonai, Melech, Ken, Yasav, Decha, Vayeshav, Shimi, Yerushalayim, Yamim, Rabim, fine, that's fine with me. Vahim Mikate Shaloshanim 3 years later, Vaivrahush Neavadim Lashimi Alakish Ben Maham Elakat, Vagid Lashimi Lamor, Hinevadeha Begat. 3 years later, his servants run away to Gat. Right? Now Gat is not exactly where this is, it's somewhere in the Plishtim. And they say, oh, by the way, your servants are in Gat. Vayakam Shimi vayechavosh et chamro vayelach Gat alachish levakesh et avadav vayelach Shimi vayevo avadav migat. So he goes to Gat. Now this is sort of ironic because this is when he came and cursed David, right, on his way out of Yerushalayim, right, as he's leaving Yerushalayim, he's running out to a foreign kingdom. That's when he cursed David. So now, and that's his downfall. As you said, you have to stay in Yerushalayim. And as he's leaving, right, on his way out, right, that was when he accused David, that you are an Ishtamim, right? You are bloody. And Shlomo told him, the day you leave Yerushalayim, your blood will be on your head, right? Mida keneged mida. Is when my father left Yerushalayim, you cursed him that you're bloody. When you leave Yerushalayim, you will be bloodied. So now he leaves. God l'Shlomo, ki alach shemi Yerushalayim, God v'yashov. So he left and he came back. V'yishlach ha-melech, v'yikar l'shemi, v'yom re'ilav. Halo ishbaticha b'adonai, v'yid b'chalim, or b'yom tzitcha v'alach ta'anavana, yodot ina, kimo tamut. I made you promise and you swore. Now this is where you see David's right advice to Shlomo. It's use your own wisdom. He doesn't say it's what because you did. It's you swore. It's not because of what I said. I said agree to it and you swore by God that you would listen. It's not my fault. You made a promise and you broke it. Right? Vayomer HaMelech Shimi, Atay Adad, Kol Rasher Yadal Livavcha, Asher Asitil David Avi, Veshiva Nairadcha Beroshech. And now, you know all that evil that you did said to David, you called him an Ishtamim when he left Yerushalayim? God is bringing it back to you now. Because you left Yerushalayim, you're going to die. VaMelech Shlomo, Baruch. But me, I'll be blessed. V'chisei David Yenachon Lefnei Adonai Ad Olam. And David, Malcho, the one you cursed, because the context of his curse was he supported Shaul, said, You cursed David. You wanted Shaul to be king, right? Now you're leaving, and David's kingship will survive, and you won't. You will die, right? You called him bloody. Now I will bloody my hands with you, right? And now he's killed Shimi, he's killed Aviatar, he's killed Yoav, and Adoniyahu, and now, right? He's killed all the people who. The leftovers from David and the rebels of Adoniyahu, and then Paragimel opens by Chatein Shlomo at Paro Melch Mitzrayim. Right, that's when he has power. Right, he's becoming powerful. He's wise. He solidifies his forces by killing off his enemies. It's like the drama here is like it's. I mean, it's like I mean, it's bloody and but it's you know. But this is the story of how Shlomo. Establishes his kingdom. Okay, so that is up to the end of Perek Bet.
He uses the same guy to kill everybody.
Yes, Benayahu. Yeah, who's you know one of his most loyal servants, as we'll see. But yeah, it is more dramatic than basically anything else. And then Perek Gimel is also dramatic. Yeah. Okay. Anyways.